Welcome to CodeCast. We're a podcast that focuses on everything tech, and we give you an idea of what developers, startups, and creatives are up to in Zambia and across Africa. Every 2 weeks, we explore different topics and applications of technology in the real world. Every episode is brought to you by Agora Code Community. For more information, visit agoracode.community or follow us on Twitter at CodeAgora.
Hey, how's it going? It's Wilfred Malenga, software developer at Zazu, and you're listening to CodeCast.
Welcome, dear listeners, to CodeCast episode 19. We'll be talking about chatbots and messenger bots, how they have impacted on businesses, and the pros and the cons. Today we have two guests with me. Unfortunately, Mukuma and Elias are unavailable today, so it's just me, Cynthia. Whoop whoop, yes. in the studio we have Wilfred Mlinga, and we also have Regina Mtonga. So today we're talking about the chatbots. As we have seen, I'll take an example of UBA, where they have Leo, the virtual banker. Several people have used it. We shall not get into comments on how effective it has been, no, but it's just an example. And several other companies have been using chatbots. So Wilfred and Regina, how would you define what a chatbot is?
Thanks for having me on the podcast. So a chatbot is basically a software program that mimics either verbal or written text using artificial intelligence. So you can think of it like the way you have your own personal assistants, like Google Personal Assistant. It's able to take note of, for example, you have a question about the weather. It's able to know, oh, you're asking about the weather, and then give you a response based on that. So it's basically just sort of like they're trying to mimic or impersonate like having a human interaction. So yeah, that's basically what the chatbot is.
What he said.
Okay. In terms of available tools, say I am a beginner and I'm trying to build my own chatbot. I know we've had some meetups with under Sikana Network, under Facebook Developer Circle, where we were actually running through on how you come up with a chatbot. And I know for you, Wilfred, you once did a project with chatbots. What are the available tools that one would use?
Right, so I think in the chatbot space, there are like a lot of platforms that you can use to help you make your own chatbot. I would say if you're a beginner and just starting, you might need to use a platform that takes off all the coding aside and just helps you build a chatbot using like conditions or blocks. So you have platforms like Chatfuel, mm-hmm. that at least break down those steps, and you can basically just make your own sort of block and logic without learning how to code. So I would say if you're a beginner, you might want to use something like Chatfuel, and there are many variations similar to that. If you're an expert, I would suggest diving into the code and using maybe Facebook's developer tools for Messenger. They're pretty well documented, and you can like at least learn the fundamentals and get yourself doing some code. So you might need a backend, or you might need like a server for your chatbot. So when it does, or when a user does ask for something, that sends a request to the server, and then a response back when that answer is replied. So you could build your own backend for that as well if you're getting into the expert level.
Okay. How are there any guidelines on how I would identify the need for a chatbot? When does one say, I feel my organization needs a chatbot on their website or on their Facebook page? Mm. When does one need to, how can I say it? Are there any guidelines on how one would actually determine if they need a chatbot?
I think they are. Number one is if you have a business, uh-huh. regardless of the size. I think if you have a business, you need to think about having a chatbot. Secondly, if you are intending on appealing to customers in different geographic locations, uh-huh. this is going to help you. I'll give an example. You're here in Zambia. It's what is it? It's like 6 p.m. probably, and you are appealing to people who are in a time zone 7 hours behind you.
Yeah.
When they are awake, you're asleep. So you can't obviously be awake when maybe they ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the advantages. You need to think about, okay, when I'm asleep and I have customers who are 7 hours behind me, 12 hours for some, I need someone to, I need an assistant who doesn't go to sleep and responds to basic messages, you know, things that I would respond very quickly to. That's what would help you identify. Basically, if you are in business, I think it's a very, it's an advantage. You just need to have an assistant that doesn't sleep like you.
Oh, yeah. Eventually, we all need to sleep and rest. Yes. What are some of the pros and cons that you have found related to using chatbots? I know I will not mention a name, but there is one particular facility that Regina and I have had to use where, in as much as you use the chatbot, which it should help help the client get the same sort of assistance they need to get if they were talking to a human being, but you find after doing all that process you are still required to interact with a human being and repeat the same tasks that you had to do.
Yeah, so which one you want to start with, the pros or the cons?
Any.
Yeah, I think maybe we can finish on the pros, like Regina mentioned, like it can help you engage with your clients at any given time, so you can't respond to all your clients again. So having a chatbot can help you do that. It helps simplify actions. What other pros do we have? And you might, like, it might be an alternative for you if you want to just prove something, like prove a concept. So you might want to build like an app or an e-commerce store, and you don't want to spend a lot of time investing building an app. Like, you want to just figure out, do I have customers for this, or how do users respond if I was selling this sort of product? So making your bot will help you at least get that out faster, get your product out faster, make you identify what sort of things you do need, and you might not need an app or a website in the future, because what a chatbot can do, basically most apps, like what they have, all those features that you can have in the same app, so it might be easier with that. The last thing I'd say is maybe marketing. If you make a bot for Messenger, Facebook can help you advertise your bots.
Okay.
So you're reaching out to a huge amount of audiences. Like I made a chatbot that I was just testing on, like, selling, how to sell shawarmas, or like actually like selling shawarma. So I actually did make it like written in the app that, or in the chatbot, that this chatbot is just for testing. Like, I'm not delivering any shawarmas. And people like in Nigeria and other parts of the world would still like message the bot like, I need this shawarma delivered right now. I'm like, it's a bot and it's not working
yet.
Yeah. So yeah, like it, you can reach basically anyone. And I think that's what makes chatbots like pretty good. So yeah, those were the pros, I guess. And then the cons, maybe Regina, what cons?
Cons. One con I can think of is actually related to the pros that you mentioned, where people don't pay attention, they don't read. It can be, depending on how the bot is programmed, it can actually be a little bit redundant. I'm speaking from experience, clients. One pro of having that chatbot actually is it helps you weed out spammers. But again, one con is that the way people ask questions sometimes, depending on what their geographic location is, they might seem like spammers to you.
Oh, yeah.
And because you have an influence, like I deal with, in a week, I'll probably say hundreds of clients because I service different clients. I really don't have time to read everybody's message. And some people, I would just immediately ban you because of how you respond to to the bot messages.
Yeah.
So you keep on, like, I'll give you an example. People who ask the exact same question and repeatedly ask the same question
mm-hmm.
are usually spammers. They're not always spammers, which is a disadvantage because then you end up blocking an actual customer. But they're usually spammers mm-hmm. because the normal customer would pick an item on the bot and then proceed to ask other questions. But spammers would always just kind of select the same question without making a follow-up. You know, some people actually say, this is not making sense, can I call somebody, you know, somebody write on the page and say, can I speak to somebody
yeah.
because I can't understand how the bot is working. Those are usually proper customers. So, you know, one of the pros is that it helps you weed out the spammers, but also another con is you end up removing people who were actually potential customers. Another disadvantage, I would say, in as much as we love the help and the bots, they're not human.
Yeah.
So there are certain questions that are asked in a way that only a human being can respond.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you sell 5 different tables or 5 different prices, you would need a human being to explain to you why the tables are of different prices.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking again from experience because it's not... You know, you don't put prices on certain things because they are dependent on the wood that you use or how big it is. Those are not things that can be pre-programmed because you don't know what wood you'll be using that month, for example. So in that case, the bot can't help you, and therefore it will keep on giving the same questions to the user.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, it's not human and doesn't understand the difference of whatever wood you're using. So that's another disadvantage of using bots.
With what you've said, I think it comes back. I remember there was a certain debate that was put, I was reading it somewhere online, where they were trying to figure out which best approach is there to implement some of these chatbots. Do you still have to allow somebody to, say, speak to a human? I've seen some chatbots when you're talking to them, you can actually interrupt them and actually say, speak
yeah.
to a human, and it will direct you to either call or email an actual human who will interact with you. But then there are others who are saying, hey, then why am I implementing a chatbot if in the end it will still direct to a human being? What are your sentiments on that?
I guess like a lot of people do have that feeling where they're like, okay, I it's a chat, but even how I've experienced it, I know this is a bot, but I want to talk to like an actual customer service.
Mm.
So for the company itself, it's still like an expense to them. They still have to build it. But yeah, I guess either way, I'd say you still need the chatbot because heading back to Regina's earlier point, you can't reply to everybody. So you're still going to have to build some sort of way to have that continuous engagement. So yeah,
and I think one other thing, this is something I tell clients all the time who say, oh, but what do I need a bot for?
Mm-hmm.
if I'm going to spend money on a bot and I'm going to spend money on an actual human being as a like a social media manager,
mm-hmm.
why would I need to pay for both? The simple answer to that question is, when you pay for both, and I always encourage them to pay for both, we are, in as much as we're techies,
mm-hmm.
we're also users of other products.
Yes.
There's nothing I hate more than not getting a response at all. This is actual research that has been proven that when a customer receives a response, negative or positive,
mm-hmm.
they calm down. So imagine if you're a bank and you have 1 million people messaging you at the same time and you're not messaging back any of them. Because one of the advantages, remember, of the bot is that it immediately gives a response, a specific response, and that calms down a user. So if somebody came to a bank or on Facebook, for example, and is complaining about something and they came with hellfire, just them getting a response from the bot
uh-huh.
calms them down a little bit. So in as much as you have your social media managers, they cannot handle the workload of a million customers
uh-huh.
at the same time. So the bot is there to calm down your customers. I can only imagine what Zesco goes through, which
oh, yeah.
reminds me, I have never used their Facebook page. Maybe I should. If they
over
don't have
the load shedding thing.
You know what I'm saying? I've never actually checked. I should check. I think those are the people that need bots because, or airtime
yeah.
people, you know, it's just, I feel like those people need bots because these clients are usually people who are probably, it's an MTN subscriber trying to enter Airtel for Airtel and is complaining to say it's not entering, not realizing it's the wrong network. You need those people to calm down a little bit before you interact with them.
Yeah.
So already you're seeing the advantage of a bot. I have no idea why people don't want to invest more into bots, because I want my clients to calm down before I get to them. For the sake of them also, because now we'll just be yelling at each other and then you lose a customer. And,
Speaking of, and you've passed a good comment, especially on our service providers like Zesco. Could it be that maybe they're not able to do chatbots? Say maybe for airtime, if I'm failing to redeem my talk time, is it because maybe sometimes they are failing to connect the chatbots with their APIs? Say maybe it's a chatbot that should be able to see, oh, I'm failing to enter, and it should check whether the number has been used or not in their system, and it should proceed from there.
I guess the thing with like a lot of companies here in Zambia and generally the users as well is just that mindset of adapting to use a bot. I think the companies themselves, they, you know, even like when people are advertising here, mostly they make sure they put the phone number. So it's just that right now for our users, like calling is way more effective to them than like maybe going onto social media. But for me right now, as a developer, as someone born in the internet age, I guess,
and not BBC.
I would use like a chatbot. Like for example, if it's maybe a hotel customer service or a food delivery customer service, I'd prefer maybe via Messenger or via WhatsApp. Like those are my go-tos. But I think generally a lot of people, it's just because they don't have that mindset of using a bot to sort out those issues.
Do you think maybe it's due to some of the negative stories that have come out from using chatbots and this whole artificial intelligence thing that people are scared of after watching movies like Terminator, where you have the whole Skynets and whatnot, the Matrix?
Yeah,
definitely. People are always, even we are afraid. I mean, there's no, let's be honest, even the techies are afraid. But I don't think it should hinder your quality of life. You know, you might, like Wilfred said, I feel like you spend a longer time waiting on the phone for somebody from the other line to respond. Yeah, they are wasting, and some of them are not even toll-free, by the way. Yeah, like DSTV. It's not even toll-free. Yeah, they are waiting, and you're probably just going to spend like 15 minutes just for them to clear an error. And that's another example, by the way, that I can give, that DSTV made. And it's one of the positive things I say. Those people, they did a great thing. Because before, on DSTV, if you have an error, you'd always have to call them and then wait on the line. It's not toll-free, by the way. Your talk time is moving. And then they clear the error. Sometimes it doesn't work and you have to call them back. But now, in my account, if I see a specific error, like E35 and E16, I go into my account and I log into my account and I clear it on my own. Those are all bots, by the way. It's not like, it's not some tiny human who's doing things at mega speeds. I think people don't realize that bots are everywhere. And I think people also don't realize that computers are everywhere. Like almost everyone has a cell phone. Those are computers. Pretty much everyone has touched those. So even those who say, I don't trust robots and I don't trust anything like that, but chances are you have used one. If you've gone into MTN and inputted your number there, the thingy that gives you your ticket, that's not a human being inside typing those things. All that is robotics that you have to, you know, think about. So I think people get the negative side of all these movies and whatnot, but people don't actually sit and think, oh, some positivity actually came out of this. And now we can make bread faster because a robot is now cutting the slices or something. Like, people don't think about that, you know? Like, we can have more shoes because robots in a factory are making them faster than we used to before. I think they're positive, so. But I'm biased.
I'll digress a bit. So, on the topic of where you've mentioned to say we don't think about the positive side of us using AI or robotics or digital or technological solutions for some of the things that we are offered as a service. What is your take? This is usually a statement I hear a lot of times to say, but these machines are taking over our jobs.
So your question is, sorry.
How would you answer such a person who says, I don't like the fact that, well, not even a question, but makes a statement to say, I don't like the fact that these machines, robots or AI are taking over the jobs that we eventually would do. Like, say, the one Regina just mentioned, slicing bread.
Yeah, I would love to try to slice bread. But yeah, I guess the issue is right now, like, there's so many jobs that you can say are repetitive in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give this example, but it's a good example. So if you're like customer service, like there's a couple of questions that you know you're going to get. So why not let the bot deal with like the first tier questions,
mm-hmm.
like the questions that are repeated almost 10 times a day. And then you get to just sort out the like high level questions,
mm-hmm.
and then within the time that that bot is helping you do that, you can do a more complicated task. So like if bots, like, or in generally if AI is like reducing the number of jobs people have that we can say easier for a bot to do,
mm-hmm.
then those people have, I can say, more free time, but they have more time to invest in like doing something that can make them more money, or like learning a new skill or something like that. So it has its like there are two sides to it, but looking at the good side, I'd say you have more opportunity to like do more important stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Pretty much that is this. There's no the robotics and whatever taking over our jobs is inevitable, but we also need to remember that they're not, we learned this in school, remember? Garbage in and garbage out,
yes.
A computer is only as complex as it was originally created to be. So there are certain things that I personally believe the computer will still not be able to do, regardless of how advanced we're going to get. Probably the most advanced I've seen is Sophia, where she can respond to questions that are not being controlled by anybody else. But also you need to understand that that algorithm was inputted by a human being. Those jobs, those were actual human jobs, that but it was not, Sophia was not created by fellow computers. She was created by human beings. Those are jobs that are still very valid. Sophia breaks down.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't go swimming. She doesn't eat. She malfunctions. Human beings fix that. You still have those jobs. So I just think, like Wilfred said, the tier one, the mundane tasks, let's throw them to the, you know, the robotics part of it. Like the mundane questions of, I'm trying to enter my talk time. What's your serial number? Guy gives you a serial number, and you actually realize this guy is trying to input airtime for Airtel into MTN. Those are mundane things. And I feel like maybe it's because I've worked in that space. You have no idea how many times in a day you someone will call question. You saying, I'm failing to put talk time. And you ask him, what is your number? And immediately he starts with 097. Sir, you are inputting into the wrong phone. Those are mundane tasks, you know. They should be done by, I don't think they should be done by human beings. Also for the sake of our sanity. Let's preserve our sanity.
Our sanity.
Yeah.
Having to answer such questions continuously.
Yeah.
Okay. As we're coming to the end, what one statement can you say in regards to chatbots? Any advice to our local companies, agencies, you know, organizations that either and are already using the chatbots, but maybe there are gaps, or those that are not even actually using any chatbots at all?
I guess for me, I would say my closing statement is just adopt. If take for example, what I mentioned about Facebook helping people to advertise their products. So you don't have to worry if you're dealing in something like a local product, like say you're making artifacts or chitenge, you could sell to a huge audience through a bot,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even through a website, but a bot would be one way to easily engage many users. Bots now accept payments,
mm-hmm.
so you could do all of that through a bot and not have to have like a huge overhead in development. So yeah, I would say my closing statement is just adopt, like try use these platforms, because you don't know like who's gonna use them, and
yeah
it's gonna open doors. So.
What can I say about chatbots? If you already have one, those things can be reprogrammed. Uh-huh. You know, if you made yours a year ago, I would probably advise you go back to it and ask your developer to add more stuff. You know, as your business grows, you get newer questions,
uh-huh.
more mundane questions that become maybe what you never had before. Go back and reprogram them, add more stuff to them, ease your workload. If you don't have one yet, I always tell customers, just try it. Just whether it's on your website, uh-huh. or on a social media platform, just try it and see how you like it. And especially if you have, like I said before, if you have customers in different geographic locations, a chatbot is probably a necessity.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember somebody said, oh, but I use one of those on Facebook. But do you have one on your website? No. But I actually went into the back end of her website and I showed her the comment section and I said, you see those uh-huh. people, those are potential customers you are losing because you are sleeping. And not everybody's on Facebook, not everybody's on Twitter.
True. Yeah.
So the customers you have on your website, you are losing them.
Uh-huh.
And because they're in other geographic locations, they probably don't even want to call you or anything.
Oh,
they
yeah.
just want to leave a message. At least allow your customers to leave a message, and not exactly using the contact us
uh-huh.
format of leaving an email. That's annoying for some people.
Oh, yeah.
For people like me, I find that annoying. Like, just put a bot there, even though I know, and I know this all the time because I'm a developer. I'm 100% sure I'm talking to a bot, but just that something is responding to me, I'm like, yeah.
At least I'm being heard. Yeah.
At least I'm being heard. They'll see it after 11 days, but it's fine. At least I talked to something.
Yeah.
People like that.
True.
So get one.
Dear listeners, you've heard for yourselves. Hope we'll be seeing more chatbots being created soon. In particular for our huge service providers, hope you start looking into serving us better. I would really like to see a bot that would help me remember the schedule for my load shedding in my area. That would be so lovely. Hope somebody from Zesco is hearing this. Sorry for calling you out, but yeah. That was all for today, episode 19, that was on chatbots. Right now, I'll just allow our guests to do plugs. They'll tell us what their Facebook usernames are and their Twitter username in case any of you would like to ask them questions. But in case you don't hear them in the podcast, we'll actually put them in the description. Wilfred?
So Facebook is Wilfred, but you're gonna struggle finding me. So on Twitter, Molenga Wilfred. If you have trouble spelling Molenga, just check in the credits. Yeah, but it's Molenga Wilfred, my full name backwards.
Okay.
On Facebook. Facebook, you struggle.
Everyone is saying you struggle. Yes.
You struggle, and also I don't accept any friend requests. But try.
True.
You can try your luck. It's what is my name? It's what's my name on Facebook? Mukonda something.
Yeah, Mukonda.
Zimba Mukonda.
Yeah, Zimba Mukonda.
you can follow us as a Sikana Network on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
You can also attempt on Twitter, but I also do not accept followers on Twitter anymore. I think I've reached my maximum. It's one of the reasons I locked both accounts. I was receiving too many requests. But you can follow Sikana Network. It's very open. Send mm-hmm. us a message on Facebook. Also, try your luck with Sikana Network. The other one,
okay. So for Regina, follow Sikana Network both on Twitter and Facebook. For me, it's the same. Python Kadisi on Twitter, on Facebook Cynthia Mlenga, on LinkedIn it's Cynthia Mlenga with the. Not real dreadlocks, but they'll look like dreadlocks. Yes, I'm saying this because we're several Cynthia Mlingas.
Okay. Out.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Codecast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter @CodecastZM and subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never miss a show. Leave us a rating on iTunes and please do tell a friend about the show.